Good morning. You might notice I'm limping a little bit this morning. About 2 weeks ago, I pulled my hamstring, and I thought I was pretty well over it. And over the weekend, I pretty well re-injured it pretty well. So I may be walking a little gingerly, but there's good news in that, here on Fellowship Sunday, you don't have to worry about me running long this morning. So we'll be this morning considering our worship and considering our study on the Sermon on the Mount. For the last couple months, we've looked at Jesus' words that in this great sermon. And this week and next week, we'll bring that hopefully to a conclusion. If you look over to chapter 7, we have the beginning words of our text today. Do not judge, or you will be judged. What do we think about criticism and how we criticize each other? Years ago, we attended the Spiritual Growth Workshop over in Orlando when Carl Burkeen was speaking. And Carl Burkeen at that time was a professor at Abilene Christian and also head of a counseling clinic. And he gave a talk about relationships, and he went through the idea of not criticizing each other. In fact, he said him and his wife had made a pact in their marriage early on that they would never criticize each other at all. And then he gave an example. He said, we had a rule in our house. They had still some rules. That if you used a plate and dirtied it, then you brought it to the kitchen and put it in the sink. You didn't leave it sitting beside the couch or wherever you were, when you were eating. And he said he had a big piece of chocolate cake, and it was one of his favorites. And he sat there and he ate his chocolate cake, and he set the plate down, and he got a phone call. And so he left the plate there, and he went to take the phone call. This was before cell phones and portable phones, and so he had to actually go to a different room after to his office to take the call. Where his wife walks in, and there's the plate. And so she picks it up, and the kids are all around, and they know who left the plate there. And she immediately says, who left this plate? Figuring it was one of the kids. And Carl walks back into the room, and she sees his face, and she knows just by looking at his face that who it was that left that plate. And so she just set the plate back down, and that was enough. I don't know if we're quite that good or not to criticize each other. I know that it's hard not to. It's sort of human nature sometimes for us to criticize each other. And that's what Jesus is talking about in these verses, is how do we treat each other and how do we criticize? Now, he's not talking about not to ever use any judgment. If you go through the Sermon on the Mount, he has contrasted the way of the world the way he wants us to be. And that means that you have to discern and have to make judgment calls. But they'll sure be mostly focused in on ourselves and not on other people. When we start judging others is when Jesus says, you need to be careful on how you do that. Have you ever heard the expression, what goes around comes around? Most of us have heard that. In Galatians 6, Paul writes that a man sows what he reaps, or he reaps what he sows. In other words, whatever you plant, that's what's going to come up. If you plant good things in your life, you're going to have good things come back to you. If you plant bad things, you're going to have bad things come back to you. So often what goes around comes around. That can be good, or it can be not so good. Years ago, when our son, this is David, that just him and his wife just celebrated the birth of their baby a few weeks ago. But when he was around 2 years old, he started attending the youth church or children's worship over at Melbourne. And Melbourne's church at that time had about 15 to 20 young kids, 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds. If you can picture a room that has about 15 to 20, 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds all sitting there in little rows, you can kind of get the picture of what the youth church was like. And the leader of the worship service for these children would stand up before them. And if you're leading a psalm for 2- and 3-year-olds, you've got to be pretty animated. You can't just stand there and expect that they're going to follow you if you just do your arm a little bit like this. That's not going to work with 2- and 3-year-olds. You've got to almost dance out the psalm. Well, Linda and I were attending it and watching in the back. They had asked us to be a part of youth worship, and they said, just come and sit in on and just see what it's like. So I was sitting there in the back, and at that time, Dale Cunningham was head of youth worship. I don't know if any of y'all remember Dale. He attended Melbourne for many, many years. He's an elder in one of the churches in Atlanta now. And Dale was up there, and Dale was sort of like I am, a little reserved. He's not a real gregarious kind of person at all. But he was waving his arms, and I won't call him dancing, because that's not what we're supposed to do in church. But you've got to be pretty animated if you're going to keep 2 and 3 year olds keep their attention. And so Dale was leading the singing, and I was sitting there in the back, and I turned over to Linda, and I said, Linda, there's many things I can do, but I don't think I could ever do that. And keep the 2 and 3 and 4 year olds their attention. Well, you might kind of figure out the rest of the story. About a month later, Dale turns to me and says, you know, our kids are all pretty much getting old, and your kid is just starting out. It's time for you to take over youth worship. And so for the next 7 years, Linda and I took over youth worship there at Melbourne. So you never know what the Lord's going to have in store for you. And Linda's often reminded me of that. You need to be careful saying that you cannot do something, because the Lord just may have that plan for you to do. And what goes around does sometimes come around back to us. Now, this was in a good way. Jesus points out a very negative way when he's talking about judging each other. But he points out the idea, be careful how you judge other people. Look over to James, and look at how James presents this message. In James chapter 2 and verse 13, or beginning in verse 12, James says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Do we desire to have mercy ourselves? We need to be careful how we judge. Now, what Jesus is talking about, do not judge, he's really talking about sort of that hypercritical attitude that sometimes we have with each other. He says, be careful with that, because that can come back to you yourselves. Look over to Romans chapter 14. And another reason Paul gives us to be careful about how we judge, because we're not really supposed to be the judge of each other. Look over to Romans chapter 14, and beginning in verse 4, Paul writes, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or he falls. Look to verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. And look at verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block in your brother's way. Now, here we see two basic ideas of why we need to be careful in judging each other. First, judgment belongs to God. We place ourselves in His position when we start finding fault with each other and judging each other. And we need to be careful about that. Paul says, let God be the judge. We're all stand before His judgment seat. It's not for you to come down on your brother. And the other idea is, look at your own soul. How you judge is how you're going to be judged. And so there's two real warnings here in how we are to treat each other. Now look down at the next section in the sermon, and we have a little parable that most of us are familiar with. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Or how do you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time you have a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see more clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now notice he's not saying that we aren't sometimes to correct each other. But Jesus is telling us, giving us warnings about how. If you ever had a medical condition and know that maybe you're going to need surgery and you were trying to find a doctor to go to, you probably would ask some of your friends and find out a good recommendation before you went to a doctor. I've got a good friend that's going to have a surgery in the beginning of June to have a little tumor removed from his kidney. Now, he's going to go to the Mayo Clinic up in Jacksonville, because none of the clinics here really wanted to take his case. He has a lot of other complications. And the Mayo Clinic is one of the very best at the type of surgery that he's going to have done. Many of us go up to the Mayo Clinic from time to time because we feel like it's worth that three-hour trip to go up to the Mayo Clinic. Or some go over to Tampa. There's heart specialists over in Tampa that are some of the very best in the world. And some of us have gone over to Tampa for heart surgeries or procedures. Or maybe you go up to Shands, and that's, too, about a three-hour trip. About 15 years ago, I went down to the Cleveland Clinic down in Fort Lauderdale. Now, it's a lot difficult to go 2 to 3 hours. Well, why do we do that? Because we feel like they're more capable, or we want to go to the very best, don't we? Which one of us would want to go to a surgeon, and we walk in, and we find out the surgeon has trouble seeing? Maybe, you know, it's like he lost his glasses or something. Would you want him to be the one that's going to be cutting on you? That's really what Jesus is saying in these words. He said, why would we wouldn't want to go to a doctor that we wouldn't think is qualified. Why would we want to do that to each other? If we're going to be judging each other when all along we're the ones that need help. He said, you've got a plank in your own eye and you think you're going to take out the little speck in your neighbor's eye? How are you qualified to do that? He says we need to have that attitude to look at ourselves first. Now, it's true, none of us are ever going to be perfect. And he said, well, until we're perfect, we can't help each other. Jesus is not saying that. But he is saying we need to have the attitude of first examining ourselves, having that sort of that humble attitude and having that humility of heart before we find ourselves trying to help each other. We are to help each other, but we're to be careful how we do it. Look over to Galatians chapter 6. Paul talks about how we are to help each other. And notice what Paul says in these verses, in chapter 6, verse 1. Paul says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Now, there's two ideas that Paul brings out. First, you don't go in like a boy in a china closet. He says, you do it gently. You restore that person gently. And then he says, watch out, because you yourselves may be in the same position as that person. And how do you want somebody to correct you? You could be the next person. There could be a little speck in your eye the next time. So you need to be careful how you correct the other person. That's what Jesus is bringing out to us, is be careful when we correct each other. Be careful when you help each other out. Do it gently, and do it remembering that you yourself could be in that same position the next time around. Now look at the next verse, and Jesus goes into who we are to correct. When he says, do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, the dogs he's talking about are not a little pet dogs that we have, little cuddly little things. He's talking about the stray dogs or the wild dogs that are scavengers. You know in the newspaper, in the comic strips, they always show how dogs love to go into garbage cans. Well, that's the kind of dogs he's talking about. The ones that go into garbage cans. The kind of dog that if you put a piece of rotten fish or filet mignon, it wouldn't care. He'd just eat them both the same. He has no discrimination about what he eats or how he eats. He's just a wild dog that just eats garbage. That's who Jesus is talking about. Are you going to throw your pearls before a wild dog that just eats garbage or a pig that likes to wallow in the mud? Now, what are the pearls he's talking about? Sometimes we take it being the very gospel itself, the good news from the Lord. But he's also talking about, in this section, how we can help each other. What we talk about, sort of the helpful criticism that we can give. He's saying, watch out, there's some people that you shouldn't even try to correct because this is just not going to do any good at all. And so you need to be careful on how you correct people and even who you correct. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus was sending his disciples out on the limited commission. And he tells them, if you go to a town that doesn't receive you, don't try to force it down their throats. He says, just knock the dust off your feet and go somewhere else that will receive you. In Proverbs 23:9, The writer says, do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. So we need to be careful who we correct and how we correct. Now look at the last section this morning. This last section we usually put with prayer, and I'm not going to go through it in detail until we get to the very end. But listen to what Jesus ends this section with. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. How do we want God to treat us? How do we want God to answer our prayers? Most of the time we have a number of things on our prayer list that we go to God with. How do we want God to answer our prayers? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus goes through that. He says God will answer your prayers. He says, if you know how to take care of your own children, don't you think your Heavenly Father knows how to take care of you? Now, he uses the term, our Father in heaven. If you go through the Jewish writings at them, they had much writing on prayer. But they never would have imagined of calling Jehovah God their Father. That was much too low of term to even think about talking to the exalted God, to call Him Father. It's sort of like we would use the term daddy. That's what Jesus is saying. You've got a daddy in heaven that takes care of you. And that's the kind of closeness really Jesus wants us to see. We've got a Father in heaven that takes care of us. Now, how does that apply to what we've just been talking about? Jesus is talking about how do you want to be treated? How does God treat you? And how do you treat your brothers and sisters? Do you want to be judgmental and harsh and critical? Is that the way you want to be treated? Not many of us do. Very seldom do any of us want any kind of criticism. It's why Carl Burkine says most marriages would be better if you do not criticize your spouse. There's another way of saying what we call the golden rule. And it's what the Jews had at that time. And they actually worded it like this. What is hateful to you, you do not do to anyone else. Sort of the negative side of it. But that's not what Jesus says, is it? Now, a lot of times that's the way we take it. We don't want to do bad things to anybody because we don't want them to do bad things to us. And we sort of take it that way. As long as we don't do any harm to anybody else, then it's okay. So don't do anything hateful to someone else that you wouldn't want them to do to you. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, do unto others what you would want them to do to you. That includes not just doing the bad things, but doing the good. How many times do you want somebody to give you an acknowledgement? Maybe tell you how good you look, or just to give you those positive strokes that we all need. Do you want that? Most of us do. Most of us need that. When Jesus says, if you need that, then you need to be giving that to other people. So it's not just the negative He tells us to be careful about, but we need to be doing that positive for each other. And all of us need those positives. We need to have that person doing things positively for us, not just ignoring us. You can meet the negative golden rule just by ignoring everybody and not doing anything for anybody. And that's not what Jesus says. He says you are to be doing to others what they need you to do for them because you want them to do for you the things that you need. And so we do for each other what we need each other to do for us. In this section where Jesus brings together really so much of what He's talked about on the sermon, four things I'd like for you to consider as we close our message today. First, when we try to judge each other, whether usurping or really taking over God's role, it's God that should be the judge of each other, not us. The second idea is we have a responsibility to each other. But we need to be careful of how critical we are. Because we could cause each other to stumble when we do. And we need to be careful about that. You can cause a lot of more problems by being critical than maybe you've even thought about. is criticism that often tears relationships apart. And as Paul says, you can cause your brother or sister to stumble from the Lord. So you need to be careful. This is not something just to think about lightly. Because when you talk about causing someone to stumble for the Lord, that's something you would have to give an account for on the day of judgment before God Himself. It can cause resentments, being critical to each other. We're all in the family together. We're to be speaking the truth in love to each other. And we're to grow together as the body of Christ. And so anything that comes in our fellowship needs to be taken very seriously. And fourth, and this is at the very end of the message, if you think about the very, Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount talking about the character He wants each of us to have. That we're to have a humble heart. We're to be pure in spirit. We're to be seeking the Lord in meekness of each one. The idea of a judgmental, harsh person is the very opposite of those characteristics that Jesus lays out at the very beginning of the sermon. It's the opposite of the humble heart. It's the opposite of the meek person. So you really cannot be the type of person Jesus wants you to be if you're going to be the harsh, critical, judgmental type of person. So this morning, think about how we treat each other. Think about how we look at each other. Think about how we accept each other. Do we accept each other as the Lord accepted us? Do we forgive each other just as we hope that the Lord will forgive us? And we know that He will if we're truly in Christ. So this morning, think about how judgmental we are as a people. And do we do it gently and with love? And do we do it the way that we would like to be treated? Do we really treat each other the way that we want each other to treat us? Think about the golden rule. If we would put that into practice in our daily lives, so much of everything else would just take care of itself. This morning, if you're not in Christ, there's not a better time. As we read before the Lord's Supper, the very foundation of our faith is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When you're baptized, you die to this world to rise as a new creature and a new life for the Lord. If you need that, why not make this the day? Or if you haven't been living by the standards that the Lord gives us, by the way, a life worthy of the calling to which you've received, why not get back on that track today? If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.